So I guess the gospel is clear. The widow's mite, she gave everything. So makes your decision easy, right? Just empty your bank accounts, your piggy banks, your IRAs, your education accounts. Empty them and just give them to the church, and makes the decision really, really easy. And then just rely on God. So that's it. That's my homily. Amen. But really, seriously, I do want to reflect on the spirituality of what we're doing. I think that what we're doing is, it's not just a financial matter or a bricks and mortar matter. It's really a matter of our faith. It's a matter of our discipleship. It's a matter of really our worship of God. And we refer to sacrificial giving as giving back, because we gratefully acknowledge that everything we have is a gift from God. And I think that's one of the really basic principles of our Judeo-Christian tradition, that we really see as people of faith, everything we have is a gift from God. In our campaign prayer, we pray, all-powerful and ever-loving God, you have richly blessed us with every good thing, and we are mindful that all we have, even our very breath, is a gift from you. It's a beautiful prayer. Our lives, our families, our health, our education, our unique talents and skills, our opportunities, our jobs, our income, are all blessings from God, entrusted to our care for the good of all. And we are really stewards, and that's where the word stewardship comes from, because we are really stewards of everything we have. We're caretakers of what God has given us for the good of all. All is good. All is gift. All is good and all is gift. So again, we're not really owners of anything. And as I reflect on my own vow of poverty as a Jesuit, I don't own anything. Technically, nothing is in my name. My paycheck goes to my community. My car is in the name of the community. So I don't technically own anything. And I think if we think about it, isn't that true for all of us? Yes, you do own things. But in a way, we don't really, really ultimately own anything. It's all from God. And God asks us that we return a portion of his gifts out of gratitude for what he's given us. So just to return a portion. That's the whole concept of tithing in the Bible. And this giving back is an act of worship, an act of trust. You look at those two widows in today's readings from Kings and the Gospel. What trust they showed to give everything, to give their last meal, to give their entire livelihood. And disciples who practice stewardship recognize God as the origin of our lives and the source of all we have. So it's really stewardship is an act of trust and faith and worship. It's an expression of our faith and discipleship coming out of gratitude. In our campaign prayer, we pray, we, your beloved sons and daughters, come before you to praise your holy name and give you thanks. So praise and thanks. Our stewardship is a way to praise God and give thanks. So again, I really want to emphasize that what we're doing in this, while it obviously has a financial component, it also has a real spiritual component. It is an act of faith and an act of praise and an act of worship when we do our stewardship giving. And stewardship takes great faith and trust in God, as we see in the two widows. I mean, incredible stories in the book of Kings. The widow, she's going to have her last meal. It's a famine. It's a drought. She's going to have her last meal with her son and die. And Elijah said, give me that meal. Right. Yeah, right, Elijah. But she did. She gave her last meal to God's servant, to God's prophet. What incredible faith. And in the gospel today that we just heard, the poor widow gives all she has to the treasury, to the temple, to God, to the church, with incredible generosity and incredible trust in God. And in the Bible, stewardship is not charity, but what we owe God in gratitude for his gifts to us. To whom much is given, much is expected. And God asks us to share our blessings with others, especially the needy. And this beautiful church is our spiritual home. And I'd like you to just look around a little bit. This is an awe-inspiring church. When I sit in the presider's chair every Sunday, I look up and I just see, what a beautiful church. It's a gift from our predecessors built around 1925. And when we had the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd with our preschool students, Barb Larkin and Dunn Sullivan brought over these little preschoolers, 3 and 4 year old little children. And some of those little children hadn't been in here before. And when they walked in, this one little girl, she dropped her jaw. She said, "This is beautiful." You know, and it is. If you look around, this is beautiful. It's really an awe-inspiring sacred space, worship space for us. And now it's our turn to take care of it and make it accessible. And it's not charity when you repair your house, is it? If you do a kitchen renovation at your home, you don't write that off on your taxes as charitable giving. Well, when we take care of our house, God's house, in a way, that's not charity either, but you can write it off. But it is, but it's not really charity. It's really taking care of our home, of God's home. And there's many, many benefits to stewardship. That widow from Kings, when she gave her last meal, but she and her son were able to eat for a whole year. Her jar of flour never went empty, and her jug of oil never went dry. So her faith was rewarded. And not surprisingly to me, scientific research shows that people who are grateful and generous are happier people. And if you think about it, that is no surprise. People who are grateful and generous are happy people. I see many people like that in our parish who are very generous with their time, talent, and treasure, and very grateful, and they're happy people. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. One person after Mass yesterday said, "Yeah, Father, I know this guy who's really rich, but he's stingy as a flint, and he's not very grateful for what he has, and he's miserable." You know, and I think that, my experience is money does not bring happiness, but generosity and gratitude does bring happiness. This stewardship also gives us an opportunity to step back and look at our endless list of wants that our consumer culture tells us are really needs, and really step back from all that, and to realize that our generous and abundant God will always provide for us, and not only provide for us, but provide enough to share with others. And in my experience, sometimes it's really poor people who are the most generous. When I worked on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, and there was a very poor area of our country, a very poor county, Todd County in South Dakota, the people there were very generous. That was part of their culture. Generosity was one of their primary virtues. So they had very little, but they shared it with each other. Stewardship helps us distinguish between wants and needs, which our culture doesn't do a very good job of. Everything's a need. So we aren't consumed by consumerism or possessed by our possessions. We carry them lightly. There's a couple who, if I've mentioned to you before, friends of mine from Milwaukee, John and Norma are their first names, who are really great, great examples to me. They trimmed their own lifestyle so that they could be more generous to their church, to their parish, and to their schools where their children went, their Catholic schools. They decided not to have a cabin. And the husband was a lawyer at a downtown law firm, did well. The wife was a lawyer as well, but she stayed home to take care of their 5 children. But they had 5 children. They sent them all to Catholic schools, grade schools, high schools, and colleges. And they still were able to give $100,000 to our capital campaign. And that was because they made deliberate decisions to cut back on their lifestyle so that they could be generous. And I think that, to me, is very, very inspiring. Not just to give out of our surplus, but to look at where can we cut back, what do we really not need, maybe it would be nice. And I think that that really does kind of create a joy within us. I mean, isn't it a joyful thing when we're able to give something to somebody else and help somebody else? And I think that stewardship helps us appreciate our blessings and enjoy the simple pleasures all the more fully. Our family, our friends, our nature, our community, and our community here. And people who practice stewardship find this brings more joy and peace and contentment and balance to their lives. So the point, my friends, is to to really approach this stewardship time, our capital campaign and our stewardship weekly gifts, in a sense of gratitude, recognizing that all we have is a gift from God, encouraging us to be generous people. The Lord loves a generous giver. To be trusting in God, not to say, oh my God, you know, how is it going to work out, but to have a certain level of trust. And also, I really want to encourage us to see our giving as an act of faith and trust and worship, just like those two widows made a tremendous act of trust and worship by their incredible generosity. And we can expect many blessings in return. That old saying, what goes around comes around, I really believe that that is true. And I've heard many people tell me that when they've started doing tithing, that they find that just things came to them. And it just was a wonderful thing. So I ask you to look at your stewardship giving and your campaign giving as really an act of worship to God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit.